You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. So what has the impact of the Me Too movement been in California? And what are the implications for this Year of the Woman 2.0, as it's being called? Those are some of the questions that will be explored tomorrow evening at a community panel discussion. It starts at 6 at the new Sac State downtown location, which is 304 S Street. Two political science professors from Sac State will lead the conversation. One is joining me in the studio, Professor Kim Nalder. Hi, Kim. It's always great to have you on Insight.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So give me some of your reaction to what you've heard throughout this hour.
This has been a fascinating discussion. I've taught women in politics at Sac State for many years, and I think that Dr. Farley made an excellent point, which our students have started to make over time. They didn't in the early years, but now they're starting to make this point, which is, why is this a discussion among women about women? Shouldn't we be talking about the perpetrators and their point of view? And you could argue that our panel tomorrow night really should have men explaining, you know, their point of view, or, you know, why is it that men perpetrate this sort of thing in the workplace. But instead, it's on the shoulders of women to deal with.
Has this given you a little bit of a sudden paradigm shift in where to take this in the classroom? And as we focus on women's stories from Hollywood to politics, is there another dimension?
There is. And, you know, I think that the Kavanaugh hearings really brought out a lot of this idea of victim blaming, right? We saw, as has already been discussed this hour, but we saw, you know, lots of defense of men and worry about men's possibility of being, you know, wrongly accused of sexual harassment as a reaction in our culture, even in 2018. I, for years, have showed some clips from the Anita Hill testimony and in my Women in Politics class, and students were always shocked and thought it couldn't happen or wouldn't happen that way today. And so I think it's been a real wake-up call and demoralizing comment on our culture to see that we really haven't come as far as I think most of us imagined we had.
Have you asked for their stories? Dr. Farley talked about back in 1975 asking the young students to describe their work experiences in the context that we're talking of sexual harassment. Have you asked them what they're living with?
I don't tend to ask those questions openly in class because some students feel like it's a sensitive topic. I tend to hear it in office hours or, you know, after class they come and talk to me. You know, some students right now in my political psychology class are talking about how they're being triggered by discussions of this. I think it's pretty pervasive.
So what's social media doing to either allow a platform, open up the conversation, or create backlash and shaming and cyberbullying?
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting or maybe demoralizing things that's also coming about is that social media gives all of us access to contact with other people, to a mass media platform, essentially, that we wouldn't have had a generation ago. And so the stories are getting out. The Me Too movement, I mean, immediately when Me Too became a hashtag, you saw people all over the internet coming forward with stories, and that's continuing today. But at the same time, there's that backlash. There's the, you know, sort of Gamergate kind of response that women get when they do come out and tell their stories. And the anonymization of the internet allows for people to say and do things that they wouldn't in face-to-face interaction. And so, you know, it's really a double-edged sword. You know, the information gets out, but there's also the pushback, and women end up being afraid.
Was the We Said Enough letter, published a year ago today, a flashpoint? Did that letter have enough power to be a game changer?
I think in a way it does. California tends to be ahead of the rest of the country in all kinds of areas of policy and social movements. And I think that the reaction in California was stronger than we saw in D.C. or in other state houses across the country. We got a lot of national coverage over the We Said Enough movement here in the state. And so I think, you know, the rest of the country will be watching what happens here if the culture does change in the Capitol. There have been some reforms. They did, you know, an outside investigation. Some people lost their jobs. So there were some consequences and some changes that took place. It's just a matter of how long lasting that is. Will we be 20 years from now having the same conversation and being demoralized again? Or does this end up being a turning point? I don't think we can tell a year out yet. You know, we can be hopeful, but I think a lot of people are feeling a lack of that hope after the Kavanaugh hearings.
That's the challenge Dr. Farley just put out, is what can happen in the interim that prevents just another 15 or 20 year cycle of somewhat same, different generation.
And I think she made an excellent point, which is, you know, back to that idea that it can't just be women dealing with this issue. It can't just be African-Americans dealing with racism against Black people. It needs to be everyone, right? And men need to call other men to account and to not accept the culture of locker room talk.
So the implications of all of this on Year of the Woman 2.0, and what will linger from the country's mass experience of the Kavanaugh hearings?
Yeah, we're seeing more women and more people of color running for office this year. In our panel tomorrow night, we have a first-time candidate who was motivated by the Me Too movement to run for office. And so, you know, it should be interesting to sort of see what people are talking about. So we have Jacqueline Moreno who will be there. We also have a longtime staffer and head of the Capitol Black Staff Association, Shannon McKinley, will be there. So she'll have some commentary about what it means for intersectionality for women of color, in particular in the Capitol. And then a political reporter, Laurel Rosenhall, who is with Cal Matters, who's been reporting on this. So many reporters have been doing excellent work here in California. Mm. I mean, we've been concerned for years about the lack of political reporters who are sort of full-time on the beat on state politics in general. But I think, you know, one of the bright things that we can see out of this is that there's been so much excellent reporting from the LA Times, from the Sacramento Bee, from the AP, from Cap Radio, on this topic here in California.
Well, for many of us, a body of work has been compiled because people are saying, yes, I'll talk to you. Yes, I'm available. Yes, let's have this conversation. And I think that's more of what you're trying to do tomorrow night. Is it open to the public?
It's absolutely open to the public. We encourage as many people who would like to come to come. It's at 3rd and S at the New Sacramento State Downtown. It's a part of downtown that's not as difficult to find parking in, at least, right? It's a quieter section of the grid. So hopefully people will show up and have a live discussion about this.
You and Professor Danielle Martin will lead that discussion. Again, it's 6 p.m., the start time tomorrow night. We'll post a link. I want to say thanks to all the guests in the studio. And I'm going to close, Kim, by asking you the same question that I asked Dr. Farley, and that is, what are you hopeful about? What are you looking toward a realistic and possible shift that moves all of us to a better place?
I am somewhat hopeful. We were talking in the green room about this, about how, you know, if you watch Mad Men and look at the workplace environment that's depicted there.
From the 50s
and from the early 60s. And you realize that the acceptability levels have shifted. And the millennials and the generation after them, Gen Z, which is our, you know, freshmen in college now, they don't find these things to be acceptable. I think there has been a shift in the culture with the Me Too movement. And, you know, maybe that's why 20 years from now it will be different, because a new generation will come up not accepting this sort of behavior.
Thank you so much. As I said, it's always a pleasure, Professor Nalder.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Sac State political science professor Kim Nalder. There are links related to the conversation today at capradio.org/insight. And that is Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our producers are Jen Picard, Cody Drabble, and Bert Johnson. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.